The following paid program does not represent the views of North Shore 104.9.
What if you could blend the classic strategies of investing with a contemporary approach to financial planning? That's what Friedman Financial can do for you. Wherever you are along your financial journey, Friedman Financial has the skills, technology, and expertise to help you make smart financial decisions. Their team of certified financial planners will deliver an independent, objective, personalized plan for you. Let's make 2018 the year you get serious about your financial plan. Friedman Financial. Financial advice in a language you can understand.
Welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. This morning during the program, your host, Mark Friedman, may discuss specific financial planning and investment ideas. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Financial planning and investment advice is offered through Friedman Financial, an SEC-registered investment advisor located in Peabody, Massachusetts. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, a member of FINRA and SIPC. Friedman Financial is a separate entity from LPL Financial. Investing involves risk, including loss of principal. Always consult a certified financial planner professional, qualified attorney, or tax advisor prior to investing to determine what is appropriate for you. And now, here's the host of Dollars and Cents, Mark Friedman of Friedman Financial.
Good morning and welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, where we've been providing financial advice in a language you can understand for actually 50 years, 50 years. Hard to believe that. 1968, my father started our financial planning and investment management firm, and here we are in April. When April comes around, it'll be 50 years of providing that service. So we're happy to celebrate that and continue to provide financial planning and investment management advice to individuals and families who live on the North Shore in the Merrimack Valley. Always amazes me that we have 3, 4, and 5 generations of clients in many cases. And what always amazes so many people who listen to this show or tune into Dollars and Cents or even hear about Friedman Financial or financial planners for that matter, is the truth is we don't have super wealthy clients. People seem to think that financial planners only deal with the super wealthy. Folks, we're dealing probably with the sweet spot of people that are listening to this show right now. Let me try to describe who the clients are that we generally work with. Generally, our clients are over the age of 50. Is that you? Perhaps. If you're over the age of 50 and perhaps you're married, single, divorced, doesn't matter. You're over the age of 50. Maybe you've got some decent relationships with your kids. So when you think about as you get older, you still want to continue to think about helping out the kids or leaving money to them in some kind of a will or a legacy, supporting your grandchildren, whatever it might be. Perhaps you've worked when you've been working, or if you no longer work, you made somewhere between, I don't know, $90,000 and $200,000 a year. I know that's a pretty wide range, you might think, but it's certainly higher than the industry average, or the industry average being around, well, $48,000 is the national average. On the North Shore, it's around $70,000 a year or so. So you're probably making a little bit more, maybe $90,000 to $200,000 you saved in your 401k plan or your 403b plan. Perhaps you put some money away in an investment account. Perhaps you opened up an annuity. Maybe you got an inheritance. Maybe you're all different kinds of things. And you've got stuff that's beginning to get scattered all over the place. Maybe you had a variety of different relationships with financial advisors. And now you're saying to yourself, you know what? There's not a single one of these financial advisors that I work with who I would feel comfortable sharing my entire financial situation with and asking them for genuine, independent advice. And that's generally the time when people come to see us. They say, you know, Mark, it was fun for a while working with a bunch of advisors, but now it's time to get serious. Because you know what? All your life you were taught the importance of saving, putting money aside for the future. And now you've reached that point in your life where the paycheck may soon stop or has stopped. And you need to rely on your resources to continue to provide you with an income stream that supports your lifestyle at what you've grown accustomed to, with the hope that money will continue to last and carry forward for you for the rest of your life and perhaps to the next generation. That's what we do at Friedman Financial. If now's the time to get serious about your financial planning needs, I'd welcome the opportunity to meet with you. Our phone number at the office is 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. 8108. Or if you want to learn a little bit more about our firm beyond the show that's on here each and every Sunday from 8 to 9 a.m., visit my website, friedmanfinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, freedmanfinancial.com. Go right to the web and you'll find out all about us. So, all right, enough about who we are. I got to tell you about some stories about things that I've learned over the past week. We've got big stuff going on. Well, of course, today is Super Bowl Sunday. Patriots are going to play 6 o'clock today. I hope you have plans. I know I will be at home cheering for the Patriots. Got something that's really cool that's going to happen in my house. Perhaps, I should say perhaps, because I always have to be careful here. This will be the third time potentially that this will happen. It's very possible that BBC, the world's largest news network, will be in my home filming fan reactions if the Patriots win the Super Bowl this Sunday. So let me tell you a little bit of how that all works. I have a very good friend of mine who I traveled with a music group called Up With People back in 1986. Up With People. Yeah, you probably can sing the song. You're probably hearing it in your head right now. Well, January of 1986, that was Super Bowl 20. The Patriots played the Bears in the Super Bowl. The Patriots scored first. They also scored last, but they never scored any points in between, and they think they lost something like 43-10. It was a blowout, a really bad, bad blowout. But I did the halftime show at the Super Bowl that year. In fact, the group Up With People has done more Super Bowl halftime shows than any other organization in the history of the Super Bowl. I happened to do the last one that Up With People ever did. It then turned into celebrities that started to do this. But I was the guy with the yellow sweatshirt on the 50-yard line playing the keyboards. In fact, if you go to YouTube and you look up Super Bowl 20 half, Super Bowl XX halftime show, the video's there. There's plenty of those videos up there, and you can actually watch the show. We were doing songs like Born in the USA from Bruce Springsteen at the time, Stevie Wonder's I Just Called to Say I Love You, Footloose, the Footloose theme song. It was all part of our halftime show. But nevertheless, we moved on, of course. I'm back doing my job, and a friend of mine who I traveled with and Up With People is now an executive producer at BBC, lives in London. And a few years ago when the Patriots were playing the Seattle Seahawks, she reached out to me and she asked if I was hosting a Patriots or a Super Bowl party. And I said I was. And she says to me, if you'd be interested and the Patriots win, we'd like to broadcast live from your home via Skype. I said, okay, we can do that. And so she says, but remember, the Patriots have to win. If they lose, we've got a family in Seattle that we're going to go live to as well. I said, okay, no problem. So as you probably remember, that Super Bowl, around halftime, the Patriots weren't doing so well. And as we were approaching the third quarter, it appeared that the game was essentially over, and Cheryl calls me from London, and she says, well, Mark, it looks like we're going to gear up and get ready for the show broadcast in Seattle. I understand, no problem. And then all of a sudden, Mr. Butler intercepts the ball at the end zone with seconds left on the clock, and the phone rings at my house, and Cheryl calls, can we go live now? And so I got to flip up on my laptop, go to Skype. We're gathering people in my kitchen. All these people are behind me. And the broadcaster, Mike Embry, who's the anchor of BBC News, says to me, I can't see him. It's a black screen, but they can see me, apparently. Says to me, here's the rule, Mark. He says, we're going to go live. He says, there can be no swearing. No one can swear on TV. No one can be holding any type of alcoholic beverage in their hand. And number three, any TVs or videos behind you must be off. So fine, no problem there. And we go live and we do the story. And then if you actually typed in BBC Super Bowl, you will find our video of what appeared there with Mike Embry. So that goes by. Now, 2 years later, the Patriots are back in the Super Bowl. And I reach out to Cheryl and I said, hey, we're going to be having another Super Bowl party. This was the Super Bowl against the Falcons. And she says, great, we'd love to do that again. It worked out great 2 years ago, so fine. So this time, however, she says, I'm not going to wait till the end. We do have somebody in Atlanta, you know, but I want to check in with you at halftime. We're going to go live to your home at halftime and check in on the group. So we got the group, goes live at halftime. And if you go to BBC Super Bowl on YouTube, you will call, I think we titled it Optimism in the Face of Diversity or something like that. It was miserable, right? You know, you remember the game. The Patriots were getting their butts kicked. And we held out hope because I think it was TV, and I didn't want to feel too miserable there. We showed the they videotaped us. It went live on BBC, and then towards the end of the game, Cheryl calls me and she says to me, "Well, you know, looks like this may not happen, but we'll see." And so, sure enough, the Patriots pull this one out too in overtime, right? And so now we go live on BBC again. And we've got whoever's left, because a bunch of the people had left after halftime. They had already gone home. We have a few stragglers still remaining. And this show now appears on BBC. BBC Radio picks it up, so they're calling my house. It's like 12:30, 1 o'clock in the morning, and they're calling to try to get news. And then they call from BBC again to be on what they call headline news, or the headline segment at prime time for BBC. It's like this is the time when 300 million people are watching. We had to be up at 2:30 in the morning to do this, and they broadcast it again. So we've had some great experiences of doing that. So the reason I tell you that is with the Super Bowl coming up, we're also planning for it. Cheryl has already called me, and we are geared up to do it if the Patriots win. Now, if they don't, they go into Philadelphia, and they have got already have a family to deal with over there. So if you happen to be watching BBC, or you want to check to see, you want to see what I look like, feel free. Go to BBC Super Bowl. And it's just something fun to do. But, you know, today with the Super Bowl coming up, of course, there is a lot of facts, a lot of figures, a lot of things getting thrown around. Surely the Patriots have been there quite a few times, actually. Did you know, though, that the Patriots do not have the most number of wins in the Super Bowl? That honor still is held by the Pittsburgh Steelers with 6 wins. However, if the Patriots do win, they will get 6. The San Francisco 49ers, they also have 5 wins, as do the Dallas Cowboys. So all three of those teams, the Patriots, the 49ers, and the Cowboys, all tied with 5 wins in a Super Bowl, though I don't think anybody comes close to winning so many Super Bowls in such a short period of time. I mean, the Patriots are certainly a dynasty there. But I've got a bunch of facts and figures that we found along the way. Right now, you know what a 30-second spot is costing? 30-second spot for a commercial? $5.05 million. I don't know why they needed to throw in the 05. I don't know what was that the point of that. That's what, $5,050,000, really? I don't know that that's necessary. What's that? Is that the tax or something? I don't know. But I thought it was kind of crazy that they would do something like that. But also, where's my other note here? A couple other things. Viewership about the Super Bowl. So if you're watching this, you're going to join yourself with 111 million people who will watch the Super Bowl on television. Now, there may be many other people that will watch that through some type of a streaming service over the internet. That's not being counted right now. This is just television viewing. Let's compare that to other viewings in the United States. In the United States, the World Series Game 7 was watched by 31 million people. The Super Bowl will be watched, like I said, by 111 million people. That's just in the United States, folks. This is not worldwide. Within the United States, the finals, Game 5 of the finals, had 24 million people. Stanley Cup Finals had 7 million people, and the MLS Cup Final had 1 million. There is a huge viewership. There's probably close to 400, 500 million people that will turn in and watch the Super Bowl. So when you say $5 million for a 30-second commercial, you know, it's all about eyeballs and it's all about impact. And when I was on BBC last time with the folks and they were asking me about the Super Bowl experience, they were asking me about what is America's fascination with the commercials, because they don't have those kind of commercials, you know, in Europe. If you've been there, you can watch like an entire show without commercials. They actually do that. And then they put the commercials on afterwards, but there's only a few of them. And it's really amazing how we will rate. If you have gone to USA Today, if you want to try to rate and be part of the national survey of people that will be rating commercials this year, go to usatoday.com, download the little survey and the little app for your phone, and you can rate who your favorite commercials are as well. Well, Super Bowl is all about money. You're going to spend a lot of money for snacks, for tickets if you go out there. I mean, it's all economy, right? It's all buyers and sellers, and it's all supply and demand. The more greater demand there is to go to the Super Bowl, the higher the prices are. Remember, I went to Super Bowl in Texas to visit when the Patriots played, I think it was the Carolina Panthers in Houston. I went to the Super Bowl. I was able to get tickets. The tickets were expensive, but not overly expensive. But I had to spend $300-something a night at a Comfort Inn, a small little dinky hotel, and I had to spend 4 nights. Get to spend four nights. Now, I had three guys. We all split the cost, but it was ridiculously expensive. But that's what supply and demand is all about. And that's what money is. And that's what you have to start making your decisions on how you handle your money, how you make decisions about what impacts your life. Because I want to provide you with financial advice in a language you can understand. And that's what we're going to continue to do today during our show. Maybe a few more Super Bowl facts along the way. We'll kind of sprinkle that all in. We'll give you some thoughts on what's going on in the markets. I got some other interesting facts, tidbits, and all sorts of things to share with you when we get back. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Introducing Mercedes-Benz VanPower. Now you can get up to 2 years of complimentary scheduled maintenance on a Mercedes-Benz Sprinter or Metris van, starting at just $25,995. Mercedes-Benz. Vans. Born to run.
Starting at price refers to base model Metris worker cargo van. Excludes all options, taxes, title, registration, transportation charge, and dealer prep fee. Please see your dealer or go to mvvans.com for further details and exclusions.
Currently offering 0.9% financing.
Visit Flagship Motorcars of Linfield on Route 1 North or online at flagshipmotorcars.com.
Hi, this is Mark Friedman, president of Friedman Financial and host of Dollars and Cents. Heard here every Sunday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. Each week, I try to provide listeners with financial advice in a language you can understand. And much of my advice comes from real-life situations that happens in my office, Friedman Financial, each and every day. You see, at Friedman Financial, we help individuals and families create smart strategies for spending money in retirement. Our approach is committed to placing your interests first. And best of all, Friedman Financial is independent. And we're a fee-based financial planning and investment management firm. We're absolutely committed to helping you get your financial house in order. When you're ready to get serious about your financial planning needs, give us a call at 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Or on the web at friedmanfinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com.
If I had a $1 million.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9 as we head into the second quarter of today's show with our little Super Bowl theme here. Patriots play the Philadelphia Eagles a little after 6 o'clock. Gather your stuff, start making your food, and here's something of interest to you. I just came across this fun fact. The retail sales spike for selected products in the week leading up to the Super Bowl. As millions of Americans prepare for the Super Bowl, popular snacks see a significant spike. Here is what is the number one item that gets purchased at supermarkets. More than 50% of people that will go to a supermarket will buy some form of a refrigerated dip. A refrigerated dip. Now, I just realized that I put on these glasses, and my producer Tony's probably looking at me saying, are those ladies' glasses that you're wearing? I think they may be, but it's the only readers I could find when I left. They're like these... They're like tortoise colored readers and stuff. They're very nice, right? That's why we do this for the radio. I realize I just put them on and I go, oh my God, I think I grabbed Laura's glasses. Never mind. So a couple other things that people buy, a couple of the other big things, barbecue sauce, big sales, barbecue sauce must, I bet you'll find barbecue sauce and Mexican salsas all sitting at the end cap of every aisle of your supermarket this week. Sour cream, big seller also. Processed cheese, frozen pizzas, frankfurters, salty snacks, beer, ale, and alcoholic cider, mustard ketchup, spirits, liquors, and crackers. I think I pretty much described everybody's Super Bowl party. I mean, it's not like we're doing pate, and maybe there'll be shrimp cocktails. Some people do that, but this is not a fine dining experience. My favorite thing, and I do this once a year, is at a Super Bowl party, and you're going to think this is gross. My favorite thing that I love to do is the Velveeta cheese and salsa dip. You know, you take the Velveeta block, that big hunk of cheese, which, you know, is just going to sit there, and you pour in a nice spicy salsa, stick it in the microwave, stir it up, and I could do that all day. Now, I'm not leaving the couch after that, or if I do, I know where I'm going, but... That is my treat that I do every year for the Super Bowl. So how does that play into financial advice in a language you can understand? Well, here's some financial advice in a language you can understand. The estimated consumer spending in the United States falls. There's a lot of spending that goes on in different holidays. So of the top six holidays, the number one holiday for spending money in America, no, it's not the Super Bowl. It's Mother's Day. Come on. We spend most of our money on mom. Second is the holiday that's coming up, Valentine's Day. That's number two. Father's Day, number three, and a very close third to Father's Day is the Super Bowl. I never imagined that we spend that much money on Super Bowl, but if you think about, forget about the food. How many of you will run out and buy an AFC Championship t-shirt or a hat or all of the party goods and all of that stuff? Remember, it's not about the amount of money that you spend, but the number of people that are doing it. It is an enormous amount of people that hold Super Bowl parties, and there's a lot of money that gets spent there. Think about, I don't even know if they're including this, think about all of the gambling that gets done for the Super Bowl. I mean, all of the little party grids that you have, and all for entertainment purposes only, of course, but that goes on. Number five and six, by the way, I thought this was, I knew Halloween would be up there, but the next one down, the amount of money spent of all the other holidays, I would have thought it was like Christmas. You'd think, I don't know why they're not including that one in there, but they say number six is St. Patrick's Day. Really? I don't know where Christmas is. It's also the largest day of the year in terms of consumer spending. One day of the year. I don't know. Maybe it's just that one day, you know. I don't know how they do that. I'm just reading. I'm not necessarily agreeing with it. I'm sharing the information. Call it fake news. Call it whatever you want. I'm just sharing that information. But here's some information that you'll be interested in. Did you know that on a one-year rolling basis right now, on a one-year rolling basis, the stock market, as measured by the S&P 500, is up close to 30%? Who would have thought that when Donald Trump got elected to office? I don't see many hands in the air. That was a big surprise for a lot of folks, though he'll get no credit for it. But when it does correct, he's getting all the credit or all the criticism. You know that. For sure. For sure. What did you think of his State of the Union address on Tuesday? That always gets mixed reaction and a lot of commentary from a lot of folks. Everybody's got an opinion. But here's something that was fascinating to me. I just spent the past week in India. Yeah, I went out to India. And I had to do that for some business purposes out there. And I can tell you a lot about the India story, of course. But one of the things that was fascinating to me is we read, and granted, we're a little bit biased. No, we're a lot biased here in Massachusetts, where we think that the United States must be the laughing stock of the rest of the world. You would be amazed at the verbal and visible support the country of India has for President Trump. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. You know why? Because they look at their Prime Minister Modi, who came in a couple years ago and has changed the dynamic of India. And he's changed it significantly for the better. I mean, the stock market in India has been propelling upwards for a number of years. If you looked at what India looked like 10 years ago and see it today, it is a metropolis of beautiful buildings, beautiful structures that are going into place. Of course, surrounded by horrific slums. But the development that is going on there is allowing people in India to make more money than they ever imagined. And here's what's fascinating. And this is what I learned when I was in India. Generally, it is understood that in America, people over the age of 50 to 60, the baby boomers, right? They hold the vast majority of the wealth in this country. I think that's well understood. You know, we've worked, we put money aside. We hold the wealth because they talk about the greatest transfer of wealth ever to happen in the next 20 to 30 years. It's going to come to the next generation. In India, they don't talk about the greatest transfer of wealth because all of the wealth right now is held with people between the ages of 25 and 50. The older generation in India does not have much money. In fact, they're living with their children, they're living with their grandparents in not the most attractive of living environments. But the kids between 25 and 50 who save 30% of their paycheck every week, who are seeing investments grow at rates of 10 to 20%, now, I'm not saying that that is guaranteed. It is far from sustainable as far as I'm concerned. But the fact that they're saving 30% every single paycheck is allowing them to build some significant wealth. Something of interest that I learned about India is there is about a 5-to-1 arbitrage on income and earnings in India. What that means is if somebody who makes an income of $20,000 per year is like making $100,000 here in America. Think about that. $100,000 a year in America. What that also tells us is that you can hire four to five times the number of employees for the same rate of pay than you can here in America. Now, it's my understanding that that's not true for people that are technologists. If you're coding and you're building technology right now that benefits the rest of the country or comes back here to the United States, it's about a 3-to-1 arbitrage, not 4.5 to 5-to-1. But it's fascinating. The stories, what I got to see in India was truly amazing. You know, we talk about the call centers. Look, we've all called Dell Technology or someone, and you get someone that answers the phone in India. Well, did you know that the call centers, the whole call center idea is going away? The whole phone call center in India is going away. Do you know why? Because it has gotten to be too expensive. 5-to-1. Remember, you get 5 people for every 1 person you get in America. It's going away in India. You know why? Because in the Philippines, you can get 8-to-1. So all of the call centers, the phone call centers, are moving to the Philippines. But what you're getting now in India is you're getting very skilled people who can code, who can build technology, who are building apps for you, who are doing operational-based stuff. Like, for instance, when you go to the bank and you fill out a new account form and it gets submitted somewhere, somebody has to process all of that. In India, they're processing most of that business. And so I thought, when I heard that, I said, well, that kind of makes me a little worried. India is processing our paperwork. What kind of security? There's a lot of personal information. So I got taken to one of the technology call centers, and I learned something fascinating. So here's what happens. I go into these skyscrapers of buildings. They're not skyscrapers like what you'd think in New York or Boston, but they're nice. They almost look like college campus type buildings, mostly made out of stone. You go inside. They look a lot prettier on the outside than what they are on the inside, to tell you the truth. You go upstairs, and maybe you get off at the 3rd floor, and you walk into this area where there's a little reception area where there's also a snack room, a break room. And when I'm talking about a snack room, there's a couple coffee machines and tables. Everybody brings their own food. No one buys anything. In India, everybody brings their food. Everybody makes their own meals. They heat them up in a microwave. They don't spend money on food, except for maybe on the street. They're not buying prepackaged, you know, Lunchables or something like that in India. So they get there. Now they have to go to work. First thing they do is they have to have their laptop and their, if they have any type of electronic device, a phone, a laptop, an iPad, they hand it over to security, and security writes in the security, the serial number of each of their electronic devices. You have to do this every day. Next, you go to a new area where your whole body is scanned through wands. They're scanning your bags, and then you empty out your bag, you empty out your pockets, and they give you a locker. And in that locker goes everything of your possession, your entire backpack, but plus your laptop, your phone, your iPad, your watch, your wallet. You can have no pens, no pencils, nothing on you. You are walking in just with your underwear, pants, shirt, socks, and shoes. That is all. That is all you can bring in. No headsets, no nothing. You walk through another metal detector. They scan you from head to toe. And then you hit a button where a door opens and you walk into a call center or a work center, you know, a series of cubes. And there's maybe 80 to 100 cubes in there. You sit down at your cube. The door locks from behind you. You work 9-hour shifts. Let's call it 9 to 6. Okay, 9 to 6 is your shift. You get 1 hour break over the course of the day. 30 minutes is a forced time for lunch. It's actually already scheduled for you. 30 minutes for lunch, where you're actually bringing your own food. So you're not going out for lunch or anything like that. You have that in your locker. And then there's 2 15-minute breaks that you can take at your choice, whether it's to use the bathroom, to get some coffee, whatever it is. But getting coffee and going to the bathroom, nothing else comes back in. So you go back in, you sit down at your computer terminal, and you are there for the day. Now, what was fascinating to me was something that we would never imagine happen in America in a call center. And on Thursday, well, I was visiting, actually on Wednesday night, they announced that on Thursday, there was going to be a statewide transportation strike in Bangalore, India. And the statewide transportation strike would say that no public transportation of any kind could travel on the roads. That means no buses, no trains, no taxis, know what they called auto rickshaws. None of that stuff could go around. If you drove a private car, you could go ahead and do that, but very few people drive a private car in India. And nor did anybody want to risk it. They didn't want the government to decide, is that a private car or is that a government car? So you were encouraged to stay inside all day Thursday. Now, I found this out on Wednesday, and what I saw happen on Wednesday was something that I could have never imagined would happen in America. I'm going to tell you. But before I do that, I do want to officially thank Marion for filling in for me last week while I was away in India. You know, she doesn't do this very often, and so Marion gets sometimes quite nervous, but I heard she did a great job, and I hope you really enjoyed it. I know I enjoy doing the shows when Marion and I are both here, because it's more of an exchange, it's more of a conversation, and frankly, she keeps me focused more on the money part. And, you know, here I'm just sitting here telling stories, but I actually think people like listening to the stories. I think it makes it more human, and we do bring things back to reality as well. But I wanted to finish up that story about my experience in India. If you're just joining us, I spent the past week out in India visiting four or five call center type places. The call centers that you're familiar with, like when you call Verizon and you get someone from India, it sounds like. Well, believe it or not, you're rarely getting people answering the phone in India anymore. Frankly, because in India, the value of a call center person, you can get pretty much five people for every one person in India for a call center. But that's moving because in the Philippines, you can get seven or eight. So the people answering the phones and being able to read through these planning manuals and these schematics are now all moving to India. But the people that are staying in India, they're becoming more skilled players. They know how to do this. So they're building the technology. They're building the coding. They're building the apps that we see on our phones. But they're also doing some of the operational and servicing backgrounds that are important as well. And I had the opportunity to go and visit technology places, but also seeing one of the servicing and operations places. I walked into this building. It was, I think it was through Capgemini Group. Maybe you've heard of them before. Maybe you've heard of Cognizant. Maybe you've heard of Emphasis. All of these are companies that are in it in India, large companies that are both worldwide, but they also have these call centers in India. And I walked in and I watched how these employees, these 80 employees, would go into their little call network and how they're scanned before they walk in. They have to empty their pockets, can't bring in laptops, cell phones. They can't bring in pens. They can't bring in a backpack. They bring in nothing. The only thing that they can bring in are the clothes that are on their body that day. In fact, glasses are examined. If you wear glasses, your glasses must be examined to make sure there's no hidden cameras in your glasses. Nothing at all. It is fully examined to protect you. I mean, this is personal information, and you're in India, and I bet when you think about India and protection of personal information, I bet you don't get a good feeling when I say that. So you want to be sure that if these systems are really happening, that you're protected as best you can. And I think these companies do a very good job doing that. But what was interesting, what I talked about in the last show, was that on Thursday, well, I was at one of these call centers on Wednesday, and sometime in the afternoon, there was an announcement that there was going to be a transportation ban in Bangalore. And it was a ban that was going to run from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., which meant that cars could not be on the road. Any type of transportation vehicles, public buses, trains, taxis, which are government operated, these little auto rickshaws, if you hired a driver who had to pay taxes, not allowed. So unless you had a private car, your own car that you were driving, no vehicles were allowed on the road. Believe it or not, airplanes did fly that day. I'm not quite sure how people got to airplanes, but they did fly. But on Thursday, they announced from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., there would be no transportation. So I was told for my meetings on Thursday that I must stay in my hotel. And we did some of our calls via, electronic media, like GoToMeeting or however they set it up. And then we did dinners that night. But what was interesting is the people at the call center on Wednesday were working until 9 p.m. I'm sorry, till 9 a.m. because it's just opposite what we do here in the States, because they run their call centers simultaneous to when we're running them. And so if you get out at 9 a.m., how are you getting home? Well, you might think to yourself, well, maybe I walk home. Uh-uh. You see, in India, it's probably a 1.5 to 2 hour train ride to get to work. And that train costs you about 10 to 15 cents each way for that long train ride. You've seen those open air trains, right? People sitting on the roof, people hanging out on the sides. That's how these people come to work every day. But they can't use the trains. So as I'm leaving, the office around 4 o'clock on Wednesday, there's a truck that's pulling up and delivering beds to each of the floors that I'm on. Now, when I say beds, it's really not a bed. It's a mattress. Remember those mattresses we had in gym where, you know, you could climb those ropes up 25 feet high, and if you fell, you'd be saved by a 2-inch mat? That's basically what was rolling in. Individual ones that people could lay out in the floor that they're on. I want you to think about what would happen in America if there was an announcement of a ban, a travel ban, starting at 6 a.m., going to 6 p.m. on Thursday. Every business in America would shut down early, wouldn't they? They'd send all of their employees home so they weren't stranded. And they would have them figure out what's next when the ban was lifted. Well, that's not what quite happened in India. In fact, at 9 o'clock when your shift was over, you couldn't go anywhere. You could sleep on the mattress that was provided. You could walk around the campus that you were at where the business was, but you couldn't go out in the streets. And then you had to return to work when your shift was ready to start up again at 6 p.m. that night. And no one complained. They just do it. That's part of what we do. It's like, okay, no problem. No one argues. No one asks for what their rights are. These people are just thrilled that they have a job. And if these are some of the interruptions that helped to make their city better. In fact, many of these people were in favor of the ban because it was a ban that was discussing the shared use of water that was coming from a river to two different towns. Now, they've been battling over this for a long time, but they were fine. They slept on a mat. There were no showers that were provided. In fact, I don't even think they handed out toiletries to brush your teeth. There was coffee, and if you didn't bring in food, that wasn't a problem because they did bring in two meals. Now, meals are not the kind of buffet meals that you might imagine when, you know, you go to a hotel or go on a business trip. These are rice, bread, some sauces, potatoes, and most of it is vegetables because many people in India are vegetarian. Remember, there's no meat. Cows are sacred animals. They walk the streets in India. So if you want beef, beef is considered goat or chicken. That's what beef is. And you can have fish. Fish is okay too. But in many places, you got to be careful about the seafood because seafood can be contaminated because of the water that the fish are swimming in. And also, for me, I couldn't eat any fresh vegetables and any fresh fruit because of the water and the treatment that these plants are getting to grow. These fruits and vegetables look fabulous. They look fresh. They're beautiful. But you have to be careful. Now, these people are a little bit more conditioned to that, so perhaps they eat some of those vegetables. But you don't go out and get a salad in India. You don't find any salad bar places or sweet green around. All right, enough with the India stuff. Let's kind of bring you up to date on some of these numbers that are existing here in the market. We've had a tough week, you know, a little bit. The market pulled back a little bit. We saw a pullback, but you know what? I love it. I'm thrilled we're having a pullback. I've been dying for this to happen, and I hope you are too. You know, look, you look at your statements, and you got to be thinking to yourself, oh my God, when is this thing going to stop? Should I be worried? Should I sell out? Should I get out? No, you're not going to sell out. But here's one thing that I would recommend that you do. I want you to take a look at your portfolio. You just got your December 31st statement, probably. Pull it out and take a look at the overall asset allocation of your portfolio. Forget about how it's done. I don't care about how well it's done. And take a look to see what percentage of my money is in the stock market. What percentage of my money is in the bond market or cash? And if you realize that your portfolio is maybe 70% in the stock market, 30% in cash, ask yourself, is this the allocation that you wanted when you built this portfolio? For many people, that allocation now is 60, was supposed to be 50-50 or even 60-40. And it's grown to 70-30. So here's the challenge, and this is the one that doesn't feel right, but it's called investing rationally in emotional times. Would you be willing to give up some of your best performing investments? Not all of them, not all of it, but perhaps a portion of it, so that you could reduce your stock positions into bond and cash positions so that you were back to what your original asset allocation should have been. So what I mean by that is, let's say you had 50% of your money in stock funds, and now it's 70% of your money in stock funds. Would you be willing to take 20% of that 70%, probably from the best performing investments that you have, and lift it and add it to the bond funds, which probably haven't performed anywhere near as well as the stock funds? Many people are threatened by that. They say, that doesn't make any sense. Why would I do that? Well, that is called rebalancing. And it's a much smarter approach than saying, maybe I should just get out. Maybe I should just get out altogether, and then I'll figure out when to get back in. Look, you've got to ask yourself a few questions right now. What is your confidence level that the market will be higher, or your portfolio, I shouldn't even say the market, your portfolio will be higher 12 months from now? How confident are you? Ask yourself that. I don't know. How confident are you that your portfolio will be higher 6 months from now? I don't know that either. I have no idea. In fact, I could probably go 50-50, maybe even 70-30, that it'll be down more than it'll be up in the next 6 months or 12 months. But now ask yourself this. How about 3 years from now? Do you believe your portfolio value will be up higher 3 years from now regardless? And if you believe that your portfolio will be up higher 3 years from now, or 5 years from now, or 10 years from now, why would you even consider getting out? But if you think you're going to need the money in 6 months or 12 months or even 24 months, that is a reason to get out, or at least to pull out the amount of money that you believe you'll need to make sure that you have it when it's time for that major expense. The smart thing to do if you're a little nervous is to rely on rebalancing. Now, rebalancing is not a fun thing to do. It requires you taking a look at some of your best performing investments and saying, you know what? I'm not going to be a pig here. I'm going to take some of my growth and I'm going to sell it. Now, I didn't say we're going to sell the whole fund. We're going to take some of the growth. We're going to sell it and add it to something that is more in the more conservative or fixed income side. And then you might think to yourself, well, Mark, but I'm going to have to pay taxes on this. Taxes. Well, you have a choice. You can pay taxes on it now, or wait till it goes down in value and have less taxes to pay. Your choice. Tax rates on capital gains, as long as you've owned it for more than 12 months, is not bad at all. It's very reasonable. And I think it is something that we need to be considering. If you need an overview, an overlook of your entire financial situation, including your investment portfolio, including your 401k, including everything that you have, everything you own, less everything you own, so you can, everything you owe, so that you can make some informative decisions about your financial future, that would be a great time to call us. We are ready to accept initial consultations again. We now have the capacity to do it in our office, and we want to meet with you. If now is the time to get serious, give my office a call, 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. If you want to learn a little bit more about Friedman Financial, go visit our website, friedmanfinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. And of course, you're more than welcome to sign up for my free weekly newsletter that's been coming out since March of 2009. Almost 10 years of consecutive every Friday at 10:30 a.m. newsletters. At the very bottom of every single page of my website is an opportunity to sign up for planning pointers. Over 7,000 people subscribe right now. Put your name, your email in. You'll get the newsletter, and I promise you this, you won't get any follow-up calls from me. I won't be pestering you to get you to come into the office. When you want to work with us, we will be ready for you, but it's on your call. We're going to take a quick break. When we get back, I want to share with you some of the interesting numbers that have come out of the week here in the markets. I want to give you some updates on what's going on. And I also want to share with you a story, a scam that happened here on the North Shore that you need to be prepared for. We'll be right back. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 4.9. I don't have.
Do you ever want
wonder whether you'll have enough money to retire? Retiring for the Genius is a blueprint to prepare for a comfortable retirement. This easy-to-read guidebook on living your life in retirement is written by certified financial planner Mark Friedman and host of Dollars and Cents, heard here every Sunday morning from 8 o'clock until 9 a.m. You'll find the tools and templates helpful so you can prepare to make smart decisions on how to spend your money in retirement. If you're older than 55 and expect to spend between $4,000 and $10,000 a month in retirement, Retiring for the Genius is a treasure map for achieving your successful retirement. When it comes to retiring, don't be a dummy. Pick up a copy of Retiring for the Genius at Amazon.com.
Pick up your treasure map for retirement. Available now at Amazon.com. Search Mark Friedman, Retiring for the Genius.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. We are in the fourth quarter. The fourth quarter of today's show, which runs 7 to 8 a.m. I am hoping that the fourth quarter of my show will be more suspenseful than the fourth quarter of today's Super Bowl. Let's hope that the Patriots pull ahead nice and early in this game, because they have been leaving the last couple Super Bowls filled with suspense. Even, in fact, the AFC Championship games, the last couple games they've been playing. Let my fourth quarter be more suspenseful than what happens tonight. If you're going to a Super Bowl party, be careful, drive safely, drink responsibly, enjoy the great food that will be served. I'm sure we'll all be eating the same stuff. I mean, wings, hot dogs, meatballs, dip. My favorite thing is the Velveeta cheese with the salsa. You got to have that mixed mess there. That's pretty good. I'm sure you'll find something. Shrimp cocktail, I know, is also a big, big one that gets served, certainly up here in New England. But enjoy yourself, and enjoy the game, too. Stay up for the halftime show. Watch some of the commercials. Really make the most of it. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial. We do Dollars and Cents here each and every Sunday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. Today, we've had a little potpourri of stories and experiences that I've been sharing. We've been talking a little bit about the markets. We've been talking about football. We've been talking about my recent visit to India and what's happening over there with some of the technology centers that I went to go visit over there as well. But I wanted to finish this last segment with kind of a challenging story that is very, very real, and it's something that I learned when I got back from India this past week. Someone had come to visit our office, and she was embarrassed. Embarrassed that she got sucked into a scam. And it is a scam that we are hearing that happens on a regular basis. And depending upon your comfort with understanding communications, you could get stuck on this too. And more so than ever, certainly the elderly, certain people that don't have other people to turn to. So let me tell you what happened. This person gets a call. It's a call from her grandson. And it's a staticky line. It's tough to hear. But the grandson is crying hysterically. Can barely get words out. He said he went on a trip with his friends to Hong Kong. And right now, he is sitting in the police precinct in jail because of something that he had done. He had done something that was considered illegal in Hong Kong. I forget what it was, but he had done something illegal. And they were going to keep him in prison unless he paid the fine. And because his ATM card wasn't working, he didn't have the resources, he called his grandmother. The grandmother answers the phone, and she's having a very difficult time understanding her grandson, mostly because he's just crying hysterically, can't get the words out, and she's listening, trying to listen intently. And she says, well, why didn't you call your mother? And she says, my mother would kill me if I ever called her. I knew you would take care of me, Grandma. You know, please, 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 I need to get out. And so he says, he needs $2,000. He needs $2,000. And he says, I have an attorney. They've assigned an attorney to me. He can coordinate all of the transfer. He can make it all happen. But I'm going to be stuck in this jail, and I don't know how long I'm going to be there, and I'm going to miss my flight. And he's going on and on and on and on. So this attorney gets on the phone and talks to the grandmother. And the attorney says, the easiest way to do this without us having any problems at all is I need you to go to Walmart. I need you to go to Walmart and buy two $1,000 gift cards at Walmart. And once you get back, give me a call and we will close this whole thing up. She doesn't know what to do. She has no one to talk to. Her grandson has made her panicky over this. And she worries. And she says, I can't let this happen to my grandson. And so she drives to Walmart. And she buys two $1,000 gift cards with her credit card. She then comes home. And 2 hours later, the phone rings again from the attorney in Hong Kong. The grandson is still hysterical on the phone. You could hear him crying in the background, screaming, does not know what to do. There's the chaos of sounds of Chinese language and stuff in the background, and the attorney comes to the phone. And he says, here's what I need you to do. He says, scratch off the back of each of these gift cards and read me the serial number. And so she does. She reads him the serial number of both things. And she then gets another phone call from the attorney an hour later saying the grandson has been released and he's safe and he'll be in touch with you shortly. She feels good until she decides to reach out to her grandson first and calls him, and grandson answers the phone, comfortably sitting at home watching television at his Danvers apartment. She's sick to her stomach that she just got scammed. So what's the first thing she does? She calls her credit card company. And she says, can I stop these charges? And the credit card company says, no, you didn't buy a product. You bought a gift card, which is an exchange of cash. So you have to go to Walmart to see if you can fix this. And Walmart said, the money's gone. I mean, you transferred the money and there's nothing that she could do. She says, she did say the people at Walmart were very nice. Meanwhile, she got scammed. Folks, this is happening at Walmart. It's happening. People asking for Target cards. They're asking for all different types of Amazon cards. They're asking for all this kind of stuff. She was scammed. Absolutely scammed. And she is sick to her stomach over it. Folks, this is happening in our own neighborhood. It's happening everywhere in America. But it happens right here on the North Shore. I would strongly encourage you to let your parents, your grandparents, know about this scam. It is very convincing. It can be very convincing. There's a lot of them out there, but this one was very real, and it really happened. Here's another one that's happened over the past month or two. I think I told you this already on a previous show. We had a client come to us, absolutely hysterical. She got a letter from the IRS. And it said, you owe $25,000 in taxes for misreporting on your tax return in 2016. Her total income that she makes over the course of a year was $45,000. And she's hysterical. She says, is the government going to put me in jail? What's going to happen? She's in her 70s. She has no idea. And it said, you need to go to your bank, get a check, and mail it to this address. And folks, this is a legitimate IRS letter. This is really and truly coming from the IRS. The reason that she owed the $25,000 is because the accountant had misreported her cost basis on some investments that were sold. Now, that's not the accountant's fault, to tell you the truth. The accountant is only reporting the information that's provided to them. She didn't provide full information to the accountant. So she had sold an investment that was worth it was like $85,000. But there was no record of what she paid for it. So the accountant assumed you paid nothing for it and you owed tax on $85,000. The reality is she had paid $80,000 for it and sold it for a $5,000 profit. Yet here's what was going to happen. She had already gone to the bank. She comes to my office with the $25,000 check in her hand because she was panicked. And she was ready to send the $25,000 check because she didn't want to, quote, go to jail. That's what she was worried about. Now, there was a rationale and a reason why she shouldn't send that check, and there was a way I could prove that to her. But all I thought about was the number of people that must get that letter because they do it themselves. Or their children do their tax return for them, and they're too embarrassed. And they say, you know what, I'll send the check to the IRS anyways. That is also pretty scary. And in today's change of tax laws, tax rules, everything that's going on, folks, I think it's time for you to hire a professional. If your tax return is even at the simplest level, think about paying someone to at least be the resource that you can turn to if something goes wrong. Who will you turn to? Where will you go? What reference points will you have to make sure that you did this properly? You know, we live in a society where there is a lot of rules, and sometimes the rules don't get enforced. I mean, it's true. I mean, we've got a lot of rules. I mean, look, think about how many times we drive on the highway over 55 or 60 miles an hour, but we only get a ticket when we get caught, right? There's a lot of rules that are more or less guidelines until you get caught, of course. But I think it's time for you to sit down and say, you know what? I made a lot of money in the market this year. There's a lot of things that have gone on. Things have improved. Maybe it's time to spend a few $100 and make sure somebody will back up everything that you're going to report so you don't find yourself getting these menacing little IRS letters telling you owe money. There's a lot of stuff going on out there, and you've got to be able to determine what's legitimate and what is false. The two stories I shared with you, one of them was a fake, but one of them was very real. Yet without substantiation, this person was going to hand a lot of money over to the IRS. We got to be careful, folks. We've got to be very careful. You know, I thought it was interesting statistics that came from, well, each week I get a report from MFS Mutual Funds, Mass Financial Services. They do a thing called By the Numbers. A couple things that I thought were interesting was, in if you measure who's really rich in America, I just put on these crazy glasses again, and Tony's laughing at me because they're women's glasses, women's readers. When measured in 2017, listen to this, the three wealthiest Americans in the world, Bill Gates, Jeff Bezos, and Warren Buffett, were worth $249 billion. $249 billion. And actually, folks, that was in November of 2017. They're worth a lot more than that now because of the market going up. But get this. There are 360 or so million Americans. $160 million. So half of the population of the United States is worth the same as Bill Gates, Jeff Bezos, and Warren Buffett. Think about that. Think about that. That's not income. That has nothing to do with how much you make every year. That's about how much you keep, what you're worth. Think about that. What is your net worth? What are you worth? What do you own less what do you owe? Not how much money you make. Oftentimes, another way to think about it is, what do you keep? That's really what's worth anything else, is how much are you keeping? How are you building your overall net worth? I think it's fascinating that there are three people in America that are worth more than 50% of our population. Now, is there something wrong with that? I don't know. I don't know whether there's something wrong with it. It seems rather odd, but think about the number of people who have nothing to their name. There's a lot of zeros, right? A lot of people, maybe you, as you're listening to this, maybe you say, you know what? Well, I've got my 401k. I've got investment accounts. I own a house, but I also have a mortgage. I also have credit card debt. I also have an auto loan debt. And if you take everything you own and subtracted all the things that you owe, you might have a negative net worth too. There's a lot of people that fall into that category. So it's not necessarily the poorest people in America. You can be making $400,000 a year, but still have a negative net worth. Folks, you got to focus on your net worth. Don't focus on how much you make. Don't focus on what you just have in your 401k account or in your bank account. Focus on your net worth. Let us be the guide that helps you if you need that. If you need to get your financial house in order, if now is the time to get serious about your overall financial planning, if you're over 50 years old or so, and now is the time to do it all, to have someone help you with the guidance, the advice, the investments, everything, let me help you. Our phone number, 978-531-8108. Give my office a call, or just visit the website if you want to learn a little bit more. My website is FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, freedmanfinancial.com. And that's going to do it for me this Sunday. I got to get out of here, get ready, and start the cooking going, because we got a Patriots-Eagles Super Bowl game, and I'm looking forward to the Patriots hopefully blowing out Philadelphia. That'll make my life so much easier. Frankly, I don't want to be sitting there glued to the TV with 30 seconds left and wondering whether Tom Brady can march up the field from the 20-yard line and score again. Let's get this done early. Folks, have a great Sunday. I'll see you next week. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Thanks for tuning into Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. During the show, specific investments may have been discussed. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Please consult a certified financial planner, tax professional, or attorney to determine what is appropriate for you. Consider your investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of an investment company before investing. That's because investing involves risk, including a loss of principal. A prospectus contains this and other information about mutual funds, variable annuities, and variable annuity subaccounts. Prospectuses should be read carefully before making an investment. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment and financial planning advice is offered through Mark's firm, Friedman Financial, which is a registered investment advisor and a separate entity from LPL. Thanks again for tuning in. See you next Sunday at 8 a.m.
The prior show was a paid program that does not express the views, opinions, or beliefs of North Shore 104.9, the station management, its employees, or staff.